Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we look at the world. And this is December 3rd, 2024. And I really do want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I know that you've got busy lives, and especially as we get into December, I appreciate that you take the time to join me on these Tuesday mornings. And I also appreciate if you listen to this in, you know, the archives, the on-demand on 1-2 Radio. Just thank you so much for being here. I love talking astrology and tarot, and it's a real treat and an honor for me to be able to do this. So thank you for joining me. And I do hope that you all had a memorable holiday week. More times and celebrations ahead. But on today's show, we've got a full show. We're going to look at the week ahead, because this week does hold some exciting changes for us, which includes, we'll go through them quickly and then in a little more detail, this Friday on December 6th, Mars moves into a retrograde pattern in Leo. Now, on that same night, Venus enters the experimental and rebellious sign of Aquarius. And also, the next day on Saturday, we will see Neptune, the planet of dreams and illusions. That planet has been in a 5-month retrograde pattern, and it's going to go into direct motion on Saturday the 7th. And that's going to happen at 27 Pisces. So it's not exactly like a trade-off between Mars and Neptune, but for those of you who say, hey, how many more planets can we have in retrograde? Well, one is coming out and one is going in. And we are going to look a little bit deeper at the Mars, but also what we're going to do, because I kept promising you that we would go a little bit deeper with Pluto in Aquarius, which of course is that transit that just kind of permanently, not permanently, but for some of us, it's going to feel like it's permanent, because Pluto is going to stay in Aquarius until 2044. And it is going to retrograde right at the end, like in 2023, a little bit going back and forth. But really, Pluto's going to be in Aquarius until January of 2044. So that feels pretty permanent. And so we are going to do scopes for each of the zodiac signs. And of course, you know, if we really wanted to go deep with Aquarius, we'd have to do, I think, like a series of classes, you know, lots of information. And we may, you know, kind of take it one chunk at a time. But today we're going to talk about those zodiac signs and scopes for each. And we're going to do that in the second half of the show. So if I start talking really fast as I'm going through some of this stuff, you know, that's, you know, in fact, I look, you know, I always make notes. What do I want to talk about? What do I want to cover? And today I have 12 pages of notes. Well, between you and me, there's no way we can go through 12 pages of notes. So I'm going to have to like shorten this a little bit or figure out what are the really pertinent parts to touch upon. And that's what usually happens anyway. But when I looked at that, I thought, you know, most shows I can get through, you know, 6, maybe 7 pages of notes, but we'll see what happens today. So let's start off right away with the cosmic dance. And also I would invite you to join me over in the chat room on Facebook. We have that private group. If you've never been there before, you can always access it by going to 12radio.com, and you'll see a link that says chat. When you hit that link, it automatically takes you to Facebook and you can sign in, and then you can go to 12radio. And if you've not been there, you can just ask to join and come into that group. So often I will look over there during the show and look at what people are saying. I'm not going to be answering too many questions today, but if I see something that I feel like we can incorporate into our talk, I will try to do that for you. So thank you for joining me over there. I have some people that are there every week, and I so appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. So the cosmic dance for the week of December 2nd. And oh, one more announcement. You know that a lot of this information in one form or another, you can find in Mark's Power Peak, which is the online newsletter, blog, whatever you want to call it. Comes out every Saturday night. It's free and you can get it delivered to your email address. So that's one way to, you know, just have that in your email every week, and you can go back and you can check some of these dates, some of this information, because there's a lot of it. And of course, you can always call me on 12listen.com if you want a reading or you want to, find out how some of this applies to your particular life and your particular chart. But what we've got going on December 2nd for this week, this week's mantra, I'm calling it rise up knowing you are ready to meet any challenges. There's some exciting stuff going on with that Mars retrograde, and this really does come directly out of that. I think this is our chance this week, but also moving forward. It's not just this week, but moving forward on really going deeper with our self-worth, our self-confidence, our self-love. Now, I know that just sounds, in a sense, kind of airy-fairy, but remember what Leo is about. Leo is the sign of self-expression. It's a sign of, I want to be a leader. I want to be an influencer. I want to be a performer. I want to find my unique place in the cosmos. And I really stress that this isn't about being egotistical. Although I do think with Leo, we walk a fine balance. But you know, there's healthy ego and there's unhealthy ego, if you want to think about it like that. But each of us has contributions that we can make in life, you know, to ourselves, to our families, to our communities. And if we kind of insist on, I'm going to be without ego, I'm not going to do anything, then we're not really taking advantage of what I would consider natural talents and gifts or things that we can develop, you know, knowledge that we can attain, skills that we can refine. And when Mars moves into Leo, which is where it is right now, where it's going to retrograde, you know, it gives us that impetus, that initiation, that fire in our bellies, so to speak, to figure out what those things are. Now, of course, the trick of this is, especially with Pluto, the transformer, being over in Aquarius in opposition to this, is to not think that our unique qualities or gifts are better than somebody else's. And that's kind of the line that we walk. You know, we want to be able to say, hey, this is my gift and I'm going to offer this up. But without thinking that we're the only one that has that gift, or thinking that our gifts are so much better than somebody else's. And I'm not saying this is an easy line to walk, but that's really a lot. You know, take that away, because that's a lot of what's going to be going on, I think, with a retrograde Mars in Leo being opposite of Pluto in Aquarius. You know, we're up on that, you know, high wire, so to speak, trying to figure out how to balance those things out. So Mars is the planet in astrology that associates with energy. I mean, like pure energy, motivation, inspiration. I call it the planet of action and initiation. Now, I also associate it with recuperation and recovery. Because like, for instance, when somebody is sick, when they've been ill, when they're trying to strengthen something, maybe they've broken a bone, I almost always look to see what is Mars doing in their chart. Because Mars is that planet that allows you to pull up that energy from within and to literally physically rebuild your body. So I associate it with that too. Now, what's interesting about Mars retrograde is it moves into a retrograde pattern less often than any other planet, approximately once every 2 years, like 22 to 24 months is when Mars will go retrograde. So see, we don't get a Mars retrograde very often. That, in my mind, just makes it different than some of the others. And when you think about it too, I'm not going to say, I mean, these planets don't quite have the personalities that I attribute to them, but I think of it as the god of war. And he doesn't like to go backwards. He doesn't, you know, he may not even want to go inward. He wants to go forward. So yeah, there's a little bit of resistance, maybe in us, to ever have Mars go backwards. But I think fortunately, exploring some other directions actually ends up being wonderful experiences and a lot of joy for us when we just kind of get into it. You know, take the detour, take the other path, see what happens. Going just forward isn't that interesting when we dance, for sure. And it's not that interesting in life either. So you know what? Erase everything you think about negativity when it comes to Mars going retrograde. Now, that being said, I'm not going to say that you're going to love every single thing. You know, sometimes we don't like those details. I just want to move ahead. I don't want to stop and wait and plan and strategize and figure things out. But that's what we're going to do. So here are some of the details you may want to know. Mars retrogrades at 6 degrees of Leo. So see, it's barely into the sign of Leo. That's going to be on Friday, December 6th. And it's going to be retrograde until February 23rd of 2025. But of course, what's going to happen during that time, it's going to go to 5 Leo, 4 Leo, etc. It's going to count down until it goes into Cancer. And it's going to be in Cancer between January 7th and April 18th. So even though we're talking about Mars being retrograde in Leo, that Leo is going to be at the beginning of the pattern and at the end of the pattern when Mars is moving direct again. In the meantime, between January 7th and April 18th, Mars is going to be in Cancer, and part of that time it will be retrograde, you know, after February 23rd. So, or before February 23rd. So we're actually going to have that Mars retrograde energy in two different signs. And we're going to explore the Cancer maybe a little bit more at another time. But today, let's just talk in broad strokes about the retrograde in general. So as a planet of action, one of the things you might assume, and I think correctly, this is a period that's better suited to planning and strategizing rather than taking bold action or initiations. However, really, and I mean this, there are always exceptions to the rules. And Mars in self-expressive Leo certainly falls into that category. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm not going to wait, this is the perfect time. Perfect timing is an important issue. And if you feel like it's a perfect timing, do not wait, because I said this isn't a good time to take action. You know? But on the other hand, I'm going to tell you some of my observations and experiences over the last 30 some years of being an astrologer and watching Mars go retrograde. Oftentimes, it just feels like the time's not right. You know, we're trying to start a new relationship. We're trying to start a new job. We're trying to get a business off the ground or whatever. And somehow the time just isn't right. The foundation needs work. It's like there's a missing piece. There's something we didn't think about. Maybe we didn't think about what the commute was going to be like if we changed jobs and moved to another city. You know, or somehow the person that we got involved with just doesn't seem like what we expected. Maybe it's like an old pattern, and we really need to look at that. So things, and this is my example of it. If you've ever made Jell-O, and many of you are probably young enough that you never have, but when you make Jell-O, there are certain conditions that need to be met. Even though it's in a little box, you put boiling water in it, etc. But you can make a mistake. And even things like adding fresh pineapple will make the Jell-O not gel. Now, we don't need to get into all the details, but the point is, it doesn't set up. It looks like you put in all the ingredients. It looks like you did everything right, but all of a sudden it doesn't gel. And that's what I find with a lot of my clients. Even they'll call me up and they'll tell me how something just, like, you know, fell apart, and I'll say, well, when did you start doing this? And sure enough, it was during a Mars retrograde. So the path just includes some obstacles and delays, but to me, it's always because somehow the foundation wasn't set. Something was wrong to start with. But what I want you to know is, it's not that the idea is problematic. And in most cases, I would say the idea or the plan, it's still a really good idea, but it just isn't going to take hold. And what we need is a shift in perspective, because maybe it's just our timeline that's wrong, you know? But once again, do not do it because I say so. But I think if we go into the Mars retrograde and just say, you know what, I need to look at my timing. You know I want to just, like, move forward this, you know, get this many goals today, this many goals this week, this many goals this month. Just look at your timing and be a little more flexible. That's what I would suggest. But always remember that there's always something underlying this. And to me, the underlying thing is that we're supposed to be looking at self-confidence, self-worth. We're supposed to be recognizing our passion. So maybe we're trying to get into a relationship or a job that really isn't our passion. Maybe it really doesn't fit, and we just haven't quite seen that yet. So it's not that the universe or anything else is denying us. It's that we're trying to do something that just really isn't going to be to our best benefit. And Mars retrograde is going, take a look at this. Take a deeper look. Does this really match your passion? Does this really match who you are and what you want to do in the world? Because maybe you're trying to do something that just is not you anymore. And also think about this, and we'll talk about these things in the future, but during this particular Mars retrograde, Mars is going to oppose Pluto 3 times. Now, actually, one, it's already done it once. That was on November 3rd. Mars was opposite Pluto. It's going to be opposite Pluto again on the 2nd of January and again April 26th. So see, that to me, these are the two power brokers of the cosmos, Mars and Pluto. They both are co-rulers of Scorpio as well. So I feel like this is a timing thing. But, you know, this is a special Mars retrograde opposing Pluto. So I think some really exciting things will come out of this. And we have yet to really know what those are. But I think there are going to be some really, you know, exciting things. And they're going to be around that idea of self-confidence and understanding ourselves and really getting into our passions and building strong foundations. And if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to kind of take a step back and look at, like, what is the purpose of what I'm trying to do? Maybe the reason it's not coming out is because, you know, it's not in alignment with my purpose. So if we're willing to do that, we're going to have a good Mars retrograde here. Now, I did put this in the Power Peak, but I want to tell you quickly one of my experiences with Mars retrograde, because obviously it does it every 2 years. I've been through a lot of them. But the one that is most meaningful to me that always comes to mind is the fact that in December of 2009, Mars was retrograde in Leo. And Mark Hessen, I was working for him, and he was persistently looking for ways to motivate me to do a radio show. And he could tell you lots of stories about, with me, he suggests something and he has to keep suggesting it. I mean, I rarely just latch onto something right away. I have to really roll it over and think about it. Well, especially on a Mars retrograde. So this was not a slam dunk. And he probably knew that. He probably knew it was going to take months for me to get on board with it, because I was really digging in my heels. I was coming up with all the excuses I could. I didn't want to do a radio show. I was really intimidated by doing that. And I knew as an astrologer, though, Mars was retrograde. So see, I knew Mark would understand that. So I said, Mark, Mars is retrograde. I can't start a show during a Mars retrograde. Well, you know, but I did commit to laying the foundation for doing a radio show. And I finally did commit, and I started this show on Tuesday morning, March 9th of 2010. And believe it or not, I've been on the air since then. I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing. And that is the day that Mars literally went direct. I chose that day because of that. So, you know, to me, that was a pretty amazing Mars, you know, retrograde. And yeah, was it fearful? Of course. You know, did I keep coming up with excuses why I had to delay or whatever? Yep. But I chose the date and I committed to it. Now, I am going to tell a couple of more things just quickly, because for those of you who know some astrology, I also don't want you to think it just came out of the blue, you know, because when you go back and you look at my chart, believe it or not, I had 5 planets and Chiron. So 6 different astrological points were literally transiting through my 3rd house of communication on the day I started the radio show. That's a whole lot of energy activating that house. I also had Uranus, a planet of individuality, and breaking out of your molds. It was sitting right on top of my sun. And sun, of course, is ego. The other thing, Venus, was on top of my Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication. Transiting Saturn was opposing my Mercury. So, you know, I kind of think Saturn was sitting over there kicking me in the butt and going, do it or what? You know, are you going to do this? Are you going to commit to it? And then the other thing, and I want to stress this one too, Pluto was squaring my Mercury. Now, I want you, I'm emphasizing that because I know with Pluto, a lot of us get all bent out of shape. Because, oh my God, it's going to, you know, be in an inconjunct, it's going to be in a square, it's going to be in an opposition. And trust me, I know those Pluto things. I've just gone through several years of Pluto squaring four planets in my chart. So you know what? I know what I'm talking about. But that Pluto square Mercury was not comfortable. But on the other hand, the result, when I stepped out of, you know, my familiar zone, when I was willing to take an action eventually with the Mars, well, that's what happened. I got on the radio and have stuck to it, started teaching classes on 1-2 Academy. So see, when you know, it's easy to look at it in retrospect, right? But I just want you to know a lot of stuff was going on, but certainly that Mars retrograde played a big part of it. Now, also kind of looking ahead, Mars in Cancer starting on January 7th, what's going to shift is that our thinking is going to go back more into those Cancer ideas, family, home, what are our commitments to those groups and to friends. And see, that plays in with the Pluto in Aquarius too, because Cancer is a big group energy. Who are my people? Who's my family? Who do I owe something to? Who do I have responsibility to? So it's different than Aquarius, because Aquarius is, I choose these people because we're like-minded. Whereas Cancer often has, there's a different kind of element. It has to do with security and safety. And it does often have more to do with family than just choosing people because I want to be with these people. So think of Aquarius as it's more the idea of friendship. Cancer is more the idea with family. So when Mars retrogrades in Cancer, we are going to be re-looking or re-evaluating those commitments that we have with home and family. Maybe we are going to be thinking, do we want to move or do we want to renovate this house? Or, you know, what relationships do I have with family? So it is going to change in nature, even though, like I said, I really think if you could just hold one concept about Mars being retrograde this time, I would say it has to do with that self-confidence. It has to do with understanding something about yourself and your passion and why you came and what you've got to contribute, and really just stepping up and doing that, even if you're afraid, just stepping up and doing it. All right. Also this week, let's move on a little bit. And that is also Friday night, Venus, which is that planet of values and attraction. You know, the one we always associate with love and money. Well, she's going to leave Capricorn, which is that sign of commitment. And she's going to go to liberated Aquarius. So one of the things that happens, despite where you have, you know, your particular Venus in your chart, is that under the influence of Venus and Aquarius, relationships are more innovative. They're unconventional. Unconventional. Sometimes we're vulnerable to sudden shifts in our relationships when Venus is in this sign. Because think about it, the mythology is Prometheus. He stole fire from the gods. So, you know, he wasn't afraid of being an outlier. So that's what happens with our relationships. Sometimes the way we spend our money, sometimes the way we handle lots of things in our life. We just want to be free of something. We want to be liberated. We want to have just more autonomy. And so you're going to notice that in your relationships as well. And think too, that Venus, what is she going to do when she touches down in Aquarius? Well, on Saturday, just, you know, not even 24 hours after she moves into Aquarius, she's going to meet up with Pluto, right? Because Pluto has just recently gone into Aquarius. So that's going to be another thing that will be interesting. Just take note of what's going on for you, because that could be a very transformational process in terms of relationships, your money, your relationship with money, your relationship with your resources. So just notice whatever is going on for you at that time. So now I think we did cover most of what's going on this week. And here again, I would refer you to Mark's Power Peak. You know, make sure you've signed up for that if you're interested in astrology or lots of spiritual and metaphysical information, because there's a number of articles in there every single week. And like I said, it's free, you know, and it's nice. I keep it on my phone, and every once in a while I'll go, okay, now where is that moon? And I can just quickly look it up and see where the moon is for that day. Because believe it or not, sometimes I don't remember. I'm living in the future. I'm living in the past. So you can check out those details there. So let's go to Pluto in Aquarius. And I know we're kind of jumping ship here, but believe it or not, it really goes with what's going on this week. And in our lives, we're always putting these, you know, these pieces of information together anyway, right? That's what's going on. So, you know, I hope I'm not, you know, just making too much of a mishmash of this, but we're just going to go for it, because I've been wanting, this has been on my heart for a few weeks. I just wanted to do what I call touchstone scopes. Now, what I mean by that is, especially when something is really important, like Pluto moving into Aquarius for so long, I call it a touchstone because I will pull cards or do a meditation or do a psychic reading on a particular energy. And I write down notes. And then maybe a week later, months later, even a year later, I'll come back and I'll touch it. I'll go, okay, now how have things evolved during this time? So to me, it becomes this moment of, this may not be the only energy, this is not the only message about Pluto and Aquarius for all of these signs, but it's where we are now. And it becomes the touchstone of maybe what somebody can come back to. So I would encourage you to think of it that way. And also, as I do scopes, especially for the radio, I think of it as I'm doing a reading for the group. And even though I divide it into here are the different signs, and so if you're an Aquarius sun, if you're an Aquarius rising sign, or if you have a lot of planets in Aquarius, or you just honorarily think of yourself as an Aquarian, you know, or a Pisces or a Scorpio or whatever I'm reading for, then just go ahead and listen to that message. I mean, the thing is, I really do think if you hear something that resonates with you, then take that. Take that piece of information, because it all blends together. And in fact, I wanted to tell you, as what I did this particular time, I did use a deck of cards I don't ordinarily use, or at least I don't use them very often, but I do use them. They're a very credible, reputable deck. And, you know, so I just kind of did a little short meditation, like, which deck do I really want to use? Which one is going to have the symbols that I need for this particular moment in time for each of these signs? And that's the deck that I pulled out. But what I noticed as I was doing this, and, you know, this is almost a feng shui thing, but the energy around a reading is part of the reading. And so I wanted to share that with you, that one of the things that happened from the very moment I picked up the deck and started shuffling the cards, where the cards were just flying all over the place. And sometimes that just happens. It's almost like I say, okay, I want to focus on Scorpio, and a card just comes flying out. And that's exactly what kept happening. And I thought, okay, you guys are just so excited. And that's what it felt like. Like the energy itself was so excited. It's like, pick me, pick me. And it wasn't going to allow me to do this slow shuffle, you know, and okay, which is the card? It's like, no, the cards were just flying out. In almost every case, that's what happened. And sometimes it was striking. And I started with Aquarius, and it was very striking with Aquarius. I mean, the card literally almost flew across the room. So that's one thing I want you to know, is that I really do think these messages were just jumping to come out. One thing I noticed too, and you may know about us at the Tarot cards, which is what I was using, is there are 22 what we call archetypes. Now, those are energies that, if you think about them, if you put them all on a wheel, they sort of describe almost everything that could possibly happen to us in a lifetime, you know, stages of lifetimes or qualities that we're developing or a place where we are. So when archetypes come out, they are particularly important in a reading, because there's 78 cards and 22 of them are the archetypes. A majority of these cards that came out during this reading were archetypes. And also, sometimes when I'm using a deck of cards, I put the card down. So the next sign can't possibly get that card because I've already pulled it. In this situation, I decided I wanted every sign to have every possibility. So each time I put the card in the deck and shuffled it back in. But there were many archetypes, and in several situations, two of the archetypes came out twice. And it was interesting how they came out for which signs, like Pisces and Virgo shared a sign. Those are opposite signs. And Taurus and Libra shared a card. They got the same card. That was interesting to me because they're both ruled by Venus. So it was like, it wasn't to me, you know, I love the process of the tarot anyway, but that was just like, there was such an energy around it. It was no mistake. You know, it's synchronicity versus, ooh, that's just random. It didn't seem random at all. It seemed very, very purposeful to me. The other thing that was happening is there were many, many, many reversed cards. Now, I do use reverse cards, even though I think every card basically has what you might consider a very positive meaning and then a warning or a caution. Or maybe you might call it a shadow. So I'm going to pick that up just intuitively when I'm reading a card. But in this situation, many of the cards came out reversed. So what that tells me collectively is that it's telling you this is transformation. That's what Pluto is about. These are opportunities to change the energy, to look at something differently, to try another path. But it also was telling me these are touchstone scopes, but the energy is going to change depending on how we grab it, depending on how we do it. So that to me was the meaning of many of these reverse cards. Then the last thing that I noticed, and I will admit maybe this is just me because this is my inclination, but so many of the cards, there was an emphasis on the importance of spiritual integrity. And yeah, maybe you could read that into almost any card, but I'm telling you, the cards that I would particularly associate with that just kept coming out. So collectively in this reading, that's what I want you to hear or what I want you to know. And once again, I will say them by the different signs, but don't think that just because, you know, it's not your sign or it's not your rising sign, that that is not the message for you. Because you know what? Maybe it is. So think of this as a group, you know, reading and a group situation, but I will tell, you know, I'll give you the, what I think is the message for each of the signs. So for Aquarius, I'll tell you what, the card that came out for you was about joy and celebration and abundance and just being able to share happiness and experiences. So once again, that goes back to my thinking that Pluto in Aquarius is about finding your pack. You know, finding your group, finding your friends, finding your tribe, being with those people of like mind, being with those people that you just, that make life exciting, that make life worth living, and just sharing important moments with them. So that's what I think for you, that this is about finding your tribe, but also sharing your experiences, not keeping it to yourself. Find those ways that you can interact with people, lots of people, for a variety of reasons. And then pay attention. Does it change your energy? Does your energy go up? Does it go down? What does it make you feel? Because every single encounter is likely to be important during this time. So Aquarius, in some ways, I know that there's many reasons why some of you could go, oh my God, Pluto's in my sign. No, I mean, the card I got for you was like literally sheer celebration and happiness. I am sharing an experience like nothing I've ever had in my life. And that's true. Pluto will never be on your sun or your rising sign again. So you might as well take advantage of it. Okay, now Pisces, actually, I got a couple of cards for you. And these, once again, came out really, really quickly. And, you know, sometimes I look at the side and I go, okay, now how is this working? Pisces was a little bit like that because what I was getting for Pisces is just the essence of sort of female energy, sexuality, sensuality, fertility, passion, emotion. Now, that's not so unusual for Pisces, but what was really coming out is that this is a time for passion and experiencing the natural world. And, you know, messages that I was hearing psychically were things like approach spirituality not from a point of trying to escape from the world, because Pisces can do that, but from the point of understanding physical nature and then transcending it. So this is about, you know, in a very real sense, grounding your energy and not, you know, staying in that spiritual mecca that sometimes happens, but just feel that emotional and passionate energy within you, and then grounding your spirituality. And once again, really paying attention that this isn't a time to try to escape into some kind of a spiritual place instead of not being in the world, which, like I said, Pisces can do. This is a time you can transcend the world, but not until you really understand it or you experience it. And also, the image that came to me was like a river, where the river keeps flowing, but it's never the same water, but it's the same river. And so I don't know if that helps or not. That was just kind of something that came to me. But, you know, one of your images is of a river. And what does that mean? Maybe it's just accepting that it's continually changing, but it's still water. But the other thing that came to me, and this is what you share with Virgo, actually, the card that you share with Virgo, is proper timing. Because what I was getting from that particular card is that there are things happening, and it is so important to not just rush ahead, to be reckless, but to also know that timing is really important. And so if something is coming to you, a message is coming to you, and you know, and I think about the Mars retrograde, you might go, oh, this isn't the right timing. But be really aware, you know, listen to your intuition and know when it's time to step out. So proper timing is going to be very important for Pisces. All right, Aries, for you, once again, your card just came flying out, and I'm like, okay, well, but Aries, I can see, would be very, very excited, because of course, this sextiles, which means that's one of the positive relationships. Aries, you know, you've been, I mean, quite truthfully, you've been squaring Pluto when it was in Capricorn. So you are like, yes, happy days are here again. So for Aries, I feel like there's also a sense of joy and happiness. But it's also, I really, and you know, this is just typical maybe with Aries, but I really could see King Arthur's knights and the search for the grail. Like Aries says, yes, I want a mission. I want a project. I want something to do that I think is important and life-changing. I want to have a mission. And I also felt like for some of you, I don't know whether it was a health situation or something else, but I felt like you're coming out of a time when you really were resting or you were recovering from something. And, you know, maybe you needed to get your energy back. And maybe that was the square from Pluto, but you're going to be leaving that place. You know, you've done that work for the most part, leaving your place of sanctuary and just getting going again. So I think for Aries, you are going to, for the most part, you're going to really enjoy Pluto in Aquarius, because it's going to give you that sense of getting back, you know, on a mission and doing something that you think is important. And I think you're going to enjoy it, because that is what you enjoy. You know, you don't like to sit still. You like to do something. And so I think it's going to be a good cycle for you. Now, Taurus, I'm going to be honest with all of you. This is a square to Aquarius. But once again, I want you to think about those examples I gave to you about me and the Mars retrograde. Squares are what move in your life. Without squares, things don't tend to move, at least astrologically speaking, they just don't. And in fact, I will tell you, once again, from my experience, people that have lots of trines and sextiles in their chart in general don't usually accomplish too much. Because you know what? There's just there's no reason to change. There's no reason to get up and go. There's very little motivation. So even though I think the square from Aquarius to Taurus can be tough. I think it's going to be really good for you because you're going to be one of the signs that has incredible breakthroughs in your life. So, and what those are going to have to do with, and I think once again, I'm kind of looking at Uranus sitting in, you know, your sign for so long, it's been there, what, 13 years. Uranus is individuality, but it's like, this is going to be a time when you get a little more aware of how maybe you're just following traditions, you're following routines, you're accepting secondhand experiences or information instead of just getting out there and experiencing life for yourself. You know, maybe there's been a struggle to kind of be your own person, or, you know, it's like you very deeply, I'd say, or intently feel social pressure to do things a certain way, what's expected of you, or what you think family or the boss or life in general, social pressure. And you feel that struggle, and it's going to get more intense, I think, with Pluto in Aquarius. And you're going to start really asking yourself, when do I get to make the decisions for myself? I want to listen to people. I want to honor traditions. But this is a time for me for personal breakthroughs. And I'll tell you what emphasizes that to me also is note that your ruling planet Venus is in Capricorn until Friday. And then it's going to move into Aquarius, and it's going to connect with Pluto on Saturday. So even though that's a temporary thing, the fact that we're doing the scopes right now, that just to me was an emphasis that yes, you are going to have breakthroughs during this cycle, important breakthroughs during this cycle. You're going to have a lot of help. But and fortunately, I think, you know, Taurus is grounded. Taurus may move slowly in some areas, but they're, when they make a move, they're going to make a move. So, you know, be willing to do whatever struggle you need to come to those breakthroughs. That's sometimes what it takes to have the breakthrough. So that's what's going to happen for you. So Gemini, you are trine. That's one of the lucky flows from Aquarius. So once again, you had come through, actually, truthfully, Pluto and Capricorn was tough for you. Very tough. I remember it was there for a long time. Now, once again, you're one of the signs going, happy days. You feel the flow of the energy as Pluto really builds up speed, although it never builds up speed, but, you know, as it continues to go through Aquarius. But for you, the word that I kept hearing is rhythm. Find your rhythm. And once again, almost like Pisces, draw your strength from nature and the physical world. Find your spiritual rhythm and your physical rhythm and your emotional rhythm. And it was also not that you don't need a spiritual discipline, but, you know, it wasn't like, okay, go sign up for a spiritual workshop. It was find your rhythm, your spiritual rhythm through everyday activities and tasks. Develop self-trust, self-awareness. And it's imperative to feel connected to life, to nature, you know, to have that sense of being in the right place at the right time. So you are going to enjoy this period, but it's going to be about simple pleasures and satisfying work. And there again, look for the spiritual lessons in everyday activities, but your takeaway is find your rhythm. Okay, Cancer. Now I will admit, you're going to be in conjunct to Aquarius. So this is going to be, this could be a tough, you know, thing for you, but it's because it is the opportunity. All of you signs who have some of the tougher energy, you are the ones that are going to make the most strides. You are the ones that are going to do some incredible things. And for Cancer in general, it's about liberation, self-liberation, freedom from self-made prisons. You know, things that you have kind of blocked yourself into. And so with this, it really is rethinking what you consider to be safety and security, and really looking at how you balance personal and individual interests with those of other people. Because of course, that's always kind of a balancing act for you, because you're a nurturer, a caretaker. But really, for you, it's going to be about redefining those kinds of relationships and redefining worldly success. And I really do think you're going to really look at things that go beyond material possessions as a measure of security and happiness. And you're going to be more introspective. There is going to be spiritual integrity and beauty is what you're looking for. But more than that, I want you to remember, I think in many, many ways, you are going to look at some things in your life that feel too constricting. They just feel old. They feel like they're keeping you from being everything that you can be. You're going to listen to your internal voice, your intuition, and there is going to be a revelation, many of them probably, almost like lightning bolts. But I feel like I said, you're one of the signs. You're going to accomplish a lot. Many things are going to happen for you in which you are going to, you know, it may not be immediate, but you're going to embrace change and you're going to literally free yourself from self-made prisons. You know, you're going to do it yourself. You're not the damsel in distress waiting for somebody to come and save you. All right, Leo. Now, Leo, you're opposing Aquarius, Pluto and Aquarius. So you are one of the signs you're going to, you know, not maybe as much as the squares and the inconjuncts, but you're one of the signs, you know, you're pulling against it. But once again, you're building spiritual muscle. You're building emotional and physical and psychological muscle. Because the thing I feel about you, and this is almost a little like Aries, I feel like you're sitting there going, I'm bored. You know, I just need a challenge that is going to be like the pinnacle of my life or something that's really important. I want to feel surprise and wonder. And I don't even mind getting into trouble a little bit. I want to jump into something unknown. I want to feel passion. I want to feel strong desire and motivation. I want to get that back in my life. So one thing I would ask you is if you feel like you've got something unpleasant or unsatisfying in your life that you'd really like to break it open or transform it, well, then this is your opportunity. But remember, we've got 20 years of this cycle almost. But for you, you're looking for something that's really going to be, you know, something important in your life like you've never done before. Okay, Virgo, for you, I already mentioned this a little bit. It's all about proper timing. And I'll tell you what I instantly got for you was I saw you being asked or cajoled or whatever to go on a trip or a vacation. And you were going, no, 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 because you were feeling out of your element or out of control. And I just want to say you need to feel the flow and stay in the moment and listen to your intuition, because this is going to be a critical time of looking at your fears and, you know, looking a little bit like Taurus, like how much do you just don't want other people to disapprove of you. You want to listen to other people's advice. And there again, because, oh, these are the experts. These are the people that know it. So I think for you, one of the key things is proper timing. Think about proper timing and don't be afraid to take a risk, but don't just throw it all out there either. But I feel like don't hold back. There's going to be opportunities that come to you. And don't refuse because you feel totally out of control or because you can't control the entire process. It doesn't have to be perfect because you are going to make great strides if you will just pay attention to your intuition and know what the perfect timing is. And you're going to know what it is. So go with that. Okay, Libra. And remember, this is the same card I pulled for Taurus. And in Taurus, it was a square, but for Libra, it's a trine. So, you know, for you, you're going to really enjoy Pluto in Aquarius. And I can feel that your relationships and the way you handle things and do things is going to be very, very different. You're going to feel more independent and free of social pressure. Taurus is going to struggle with it more so than you are. So Taurus, I would say, make some friends with Libras because they're going to be the people who kind of show you how to move beyond that sense of I need to please other people or I need to do it a certain way. Because once again, Libra is ruled by Venus. And so you're going to have those breakthroughs too. But also, I feel like with Libra, they're just going to be less hung up, less on the rules and what should be or what looks pretty. They're just going to feel so much more. They're going to feel like somebody gave them permission to do something different. Taurus, you're going to feel that way too. But Libra, you're just going to feel like, whoo, I'm more independent and people gave me permission. This is a good cycle for me. Okay, Scorpio. For you, this is going to be a time when, and by the way, Aquarius is square, but Pluto is your ruling planet. So you're going to feel poked and prodded and provoked, by this Pluto in Aquarius. But I think for you, you're going to be one of the signs that really learn some of the greatest lessons. And one of those lessons is how to make a quiet, careful response to things, even when you feel like lashing out and just like putting it in the vernacular, ripping somebody a new one. You're going to learn patience. You're going to learn some really important things about how to read a situation and how to respond appropriately. I think there's going to be an eagerness and a bravery to you that maybe we haven't seen before. And I think you're going to really, recognize some of your limits and be able to look at your experiences and learn to push past them rather than just responding. And in other words, sometimes you just feel like, I don't even know what made me do that. Why did I do that? Well, you're going to be one of those people. You feel like you're so much more in control of your behavior and what's happening for you. All right, Sagittarius. Well, you're going to be in a sextile to Aquarius, which is very positive. So I think for you, what it is learning to appreciate what you have rather than constantly seeking, 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 seeking for the magic bullet, so to speak, the perfect course, the perfect mate, the perfect whatever, always looking, looking, looking. There's going to be a more quiet sense of being in a process and enjoying what that process is. I also think that you're going to become less, I'm going to just say it this way, less superficial, because you're going to go much, much deeper, almost like Scorpio would. You're going to go deeper into examining your ego and your personal beliefs. You're going to dive into places that are uncomfortable. Now, see, I think that's one thing Sag doesn't often do. They want to explore everything, but if it gets too touchy-feely or if it gets too uncomfortable, they turn away. And I think for you, you're going to be willing to go where you've never gone before to really, I mean, so now your personal opinions, your personal philosophies are going to be so much more thought out. They're going to be so much more pertinent to who you really are to help you transcend who you were and where you're going. So if there's any sense of sluggishness or just being bored with life, you're really going to turn that around by going much deeper. Capricorn, for you, I thought yours was kind of funny, actually. I was surprised. It came out so strongly. This is about psychic development. And, going into some kind of training, studying something, really learning to listen to your emotions, to your intuition, and using that in your life in a very purposeful way. Now, one thing though, I do want to, and I know I need to wrap this up, but one thing I want to warn you of that I was feeling is this isn't about just going, okay, I'm not going to be a Capricorn. I'm not going to be grounded anymore. I'm not going to use that Saturn energy. I'm just going to throw it all away and I'm just going to become intuitive. No, that is not what this is about. Try not to be tempted to do that. The idea here is to build upon the strength, the organization, and the discipline you already have. You can add the cherry on the top during this cycle by really getting into your intuition and just adding a dimension that maybe in the past you were never willing to go there because you were so grounded and it was like, I want to make this make sense. I just want to do it this way. And you were so Saturn in your thinking or your way. And this just says there's a whole nother whipped cream cherry on the top that you can add to your life, imagination, creativity, by turning to your intuition and, if you want to see it that way, psychic development. Okay, those are the scopes that I need to close out the show. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you heard something here, a touchstone that you can come back to from time to time. And if you want to talk more about it on a personal level, just call me on 1-2-listen.com. You can always ask for a scheduled call or just a call back if you don't see me as available. So thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody in the chat room today. And thanks to Jay Barbell, our producer. And I hope that you'll stay tuned, because there is empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. And those are not mere words. It's the truth. So everybody, I hope that you have a wonderful week. I do want to close with one quote, and that is from John Denver. I believe that we are here for each other, not against each other. Everything comes from an understanding that you are a gift in my life, whoever you are, whatever our differences. And I quoted him today because Mars is retrograde in his chart, but Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto are all retrograde in his chart. So the next time you want to look at retrogrades and think they're so bad, think about him and his success and the wonderful music that he wrote. He found his place and he put it out in the world, his talents and his skills. So everybody, this is CA signing out. You've been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.